Welcome to Awakening Plus. Today is August 25, 2022. I'm Benjamin Bernstein, of course, and it's Ask Us Anything, where folks can ask whatever questions are on their mind, as long as they're kind of appropriate for what we do here at Awakening Plus. And I might answer, or the other people on the call might answer. We'll just kind of see how the flow goes. So since this is a strictly verbal, we're not technically doing energy, although energy sometimes shows up anyway. We don't need to call the allies or anything like that. We can just jump right in. So, unmuting is enabled. So anyone who's on the call can just hit that little microphone button. Looks like everyone's on Zoom. And, pop in. Carmen, I see you're unmuted. Did you have something you wanted to ask?
I do, Benjamin, and I'm not quite sure how to ask it, but I'll try my best.
If you were going to ask it, how would you?
Well, this is where I'm going to get into trouble. So on Tuesday, you talked something about what we do affects, I thought you said, this is, I'm putting words into your mouth now, but the universe. And so I was sort of interested in in a little bit how we might be affecting possibly life on other planets or what's going on.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So I like the way this is described in Hinduism. They have a concept called Indra's web. INDRA apostrophe S web. And the idea is everything in the universe is like nodes on a massive spider web. And if one strand is plucked, the whole web vibrates. Okay. And mm-hmm. I think that's how reality works. So anything any of us does in some small way affects everything else in the universe. There was a great song title I heard years ago. The song title is Everything Matters If Anything Matters at All. And that kind of gets at the idea. It's like, you know, on some, you may have also, another way it's commonly described is the butterfly effect. The idea is if a butterfly flaps its wings in one part of the world, it could be that the effect of that manifests a year later as a hurricane somewhere across the planet, you know. So I believe that everything is interlinked, and any one person, if their vibration rises a little bit, gets a little more awakened, that spreads a little more love and light across the planet. Conversely, if a person goes darker, you know, it kind of brings the vibration down a little bit. It can go either way. So I just like to believe that, you know, everything affects everything. We feel this very clearly on our Awakening Plus calls. There are times when we have a group call going live on Zoom and all that is, wow, something doesn't feel quite right here. I can feel the disturbance in the force, if you will. And I'll actually have to talk to whoever is kind of out of alignment and ask them to either align or sometimes get off the call. And mm-hmm. I can feel the difference when whoever was using too much effort or whatever they were doing that was disturbing our field, when that relaxes and the field comes back into harmony. So we feel that in a very small way in our own events, and on a global scale or a universal scale, it works, you know, to some degree. Is that a helpful answer to your question?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
I'd like to kind of piggyback on that, what
okay,
you were saying.
Please.
Because
yeah.
I was thinking a lot about this today, because I'm going through some health stuff and just I'm going through some changes. And one of the changes is learning to take care of myself on a whole new level.
Right.
You know, and all this healing, because I don't think I'm done yet. I don't think, you know, I'm not ready to leave this planet yet, which is interesting because for the longest time, it's felt like a hardship assignment, but now I'm suddenly engaged and excited. Go figure.
But,
you know, I was thinking, because we are, and I've known this my whole life, how interconnected we are. And I've always seen things most people don't see, you know.
Right.
I often think we're like a planet of spiritual toddlers. We don't get along as well as actual, and we're like toddlers, and we don't play nicely in the sandbox. We don't, you know, and we're a pain in the ass, and we don't take our naps, and we're not half as cute, you know? And it's so funny because I love toddlers, you know, and this thing hit me 35 years ago, right? It's taken a while to, you know, I've been in recovery that long, right? But I love toddlers. And if I can look at difficult people who are working my last nerve and I still want to get negative, and think of them as being like my hysterically adorable 14-month-old granddaughter who just cracks me up. It's so easy to suddenly go into love. You know, I was talking to one of my sisters about that. You can't have negativity and hatred and love in the same heart. You can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like I choose the positive. And I was driving home today and thinking about my most challenging relationship, which is moving to Maryland. Thank you, God. And just thinking about how much I love her and how grateful I am in so many ways. And also, like, if there was one thing I'd say to her, and I wish you would listen, it's like, feed the positive, sweetheart. Feed the positive. Because she loves to run with the negative. And she keeps, she's the biggest problem in her life.
People are their own biggest problem,
And at this point, it's, everything's been removed for me. You know, I've been trying to manage all this crap and it's almost killed me. It literally has almost killed me. I am a living example of like 12 steps, 12 traditions, yada, yada. But, you know, I think even when I first started talking to you, Benjamin, I was like, it's energy, you know, it's energy and how we spread it and how we share it, you know, and this time right now is we're living through an interesting time, aren't we?
Yeah.
We lots of potential. And it's almost like I want popcorn, you know, because I mean, because it's funny and stuff starts happening with my body and I laugh because, you know, death is not scary to me. My whole, you know, my whole life I've been saying, is there life after birth? You people are crazy, you know.
My old guru used to say, we got it backwards. You died to come here.
I'm glad I found you guys. I swear. Like, you know, I've been reading your stuff, Benjamin, forever. I mean, like for, and I was a high school in Silicon Valley. I was a high school teacher in Silicon Valley. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know much about Silicon Valley, but they're very pragmatic. And I just, and I had a huge reputation and people thought I was quote magical unquote. And it's just that I got out of my way, you know, like, and I loved reading the stuff you would send and I'd read it and I'd stick it on my desk and hope my students read it. But I could never like disseminate it to my colleagues because suddenly instead of a respected professional, I'd be this woo-woo, you know,
right.
Hippy-dippy. And yet it's like when you, I love what you're teaching me, Benjamin.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's like you let go and you are, you, this is so fabulous, you know, because you're right. You. It's so much, you know, you let go and you surrender and
well, the best I can.
It's awesome. I love you guys. I love you all so much. So thank I'm you. Done talking now.
All right. Thanks. Wow. A lot of energy there. Thanks. All right. So anyone else have a question?
I have a question.
Okay. Yeah. Shoot.
So I was working IFS and, I have a new kind of protector showing up. It's the same kind and it's been at least twice now.
Really? Okay.
And all my protectors in the past have been sort of calm. They never were angry and wild, you know, and just in my face. Well, this type is, and the voice is the voice of my sister. And she's saying things like, well, you don't deserve to be well. You don't deserve anything. You don't deserve happiness. You don't deserve attention. You don't deserve love. And she was 16 years older than I am.
Okay.
So she started these buttons that I have, you know, when I was really young. So what I did, because you often say in the recording, you say, you know, sometimes you need to be creative and just go with the flow and do whatever the parts need.
Yeah.
So that's what I've done. And the first time it was like the part that was me had been possessed by her. It's like, okay, it took over her role, but it wasn't really itself. It was like possessed by this energy of her energy of negativity and whatever. And so I treated that part after it was like freed like an exile because it came out of it and it was like totally discombobulated. It was like, what in the world? And so First, I think it's okay for my protectors haven't been angry, but I think that's okay because they can show up however they want.
Sure.
Okay. And they are, you know, sometimes angry and whatnot. And the exile is usually not angry. The exile is usually very meek and mild and traumatized.
That's usually the case. Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to check with you because I have the book that you recommend for it, but I didn't
name the title there, if you don't mind. Self-Therapy, Jay Early, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the book where the whole premise is you can do ISFS for yourself. He gives an excellent overview of the practice. And then he has like a multi-page script you can go through and do your own stuff. That's what inspired me to do the recording at Awakening Plus.
Okay, well, I didn't go through here because I didn't want to spend 6-7 hours when I could just ask you.
Okay, fine. But I just wanted to reference what that book is. And basically, oh, yeah. He gives a multi-page process of how to take yourself through it. That inspired me to do the Course in Awakening. However, I did not copy his protocol. I did it in my own way that I do IFS. So okay. He inspired me, but I didn't plagiarize him is what I wanted to mention. Okay. But go ahead with your question. I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, so I want to know if there's any special thing I need to know when a part shows up and it's really not me. It's like, that's the voice of so-and-so. That's okay. The bully. That's, you know, that's not me.
It's a part of you.
Well, I've spent so much time learning what's me and what's others because of the, you know, the empath thing.
Okay.
And that's taken years to discern who's me and who's not. And so when it came up that, oh, it's possessed and it just needs to be free of this entity that's, you know, possessed this part of me.
Ah, okay.
Then it changed the whole thing. It's like then. There really wasn't a protector. It was like I had a baby exile and I had a teenage protector and sort of I took care of both of them in the same way about unburdening and reimagining and.
Okay, good.
You know, did the whole thing for both of them.
So let me, I'm getting more clarity now. So are you saying you believe that the angry part was not actually one of your parts, but was an external entity that had infiltrated your system? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that this part of me got depossessed. It got this energy that had overtaken it left.
Okay.
When I realized it was my sister. And so then I'm left with a protector who is actually not having to do that role at all.
The protector was possessed by an external entity. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And thank she never wanted the role.
Yeah. Okay. But, that's advanced IFS. But yeah, you know, okay. So actually when I was doing my 4-month online IFS training with Ted Riskin here in Asheville, you know, he says that in the books on IFS that they publish, they don't talk about external entities, but they are internally acknowledged. Even the people who do IFS acknowledge sometimes you do get something from completely outside you that comes in, like you're describing your protector got infiltrated by an external entity from your sister. Okay.
Yes.
So that can happen. And I applaud you for perceiving what was actually happening and for having the ability to depossess the entity and send it packing. That's really good. Okay. That's very.
Well, I'll tell you the biggest reason I'm bringing it up was I asked somebody else who kind of does, you know, the same kind of thing. And she said, well, yeah, protectors are always angry. Of course they're angry. I was like, they are. My protectors don't, they're not usually angry.
Always is not a word we use very often in IFS.
Okay. Here we go.
No, protectors can have all sorts of protecting strategies and anger is only one of them.
Okay.
So it's absolutely not true that protectors are always angry. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I just wanted to get your take on it before I just spent hours and hours, you know, looking in here for that same kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. I could be wrong, but it sounds like you already solved the problem. The entity's gone. Your protector got unburdened. And now is it more like IFS as usual with the process?
Yes, except for the next one was the same kind of way because now this is like a whole layer of, oh, you've had this bully. And you have adopted what she was telling you and given parts of you the role of the bully because that's what you thought you needed. Oh. And where I am now is I need to do another IFS because I found the part of me at the youngest age, you know, I try to go for the youngest I can find, you know, okay. The youngest exile.
Sure.
And when I was just like not even a toddler, I was like still an infant. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of things very well at a very young age. That I didn't understand why my family was always kind of negative and depressed. And, you know, here I was, this child all cheerful and happy and didn't understand that, you know, what's wrong with these people? And then to be in rapport with my family, I adopted this, oh, you're supposed to complain. You're not supposed to be happy.
Right.
You're supposed to be down. And sure enough, as soon as I did that, I got attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, then I went back, you know, so I've got to do that IFS, but all that has to do with finding those layers of the bully. And now this is, you know, there's always layer after layer after layer. Okay. Well, anyway, I just had to catch your take on the protector thing. Thank you.
I don't feel like I said that much. Was that helpful?
You told me that it's okay and not to worry. You know, not to worry if they show up however they show up. And if somebody else is not supposed to be angry, and it's like they can say what they want, you know.
Okay. Yeah, they can, parts can show up any way, shape, or form. You never know what's going to come. So,
and other people that you ask questions for can give whatever their input is. And it's like, just go. I like your ideas of just being creative. There's not an always.
Yeah, whatever works. I was doing IFS with a client yesterday. And we started with healing invocation, and that wasn't getting a lot of headway. And so we went to IFS, and that had some really profound impact. But we got toward the end of the IFS, and there was a little bit left over. And it became clear the quickest way to clear the remaining bit was not with more IFS, but with a healing invocation. So I'm mixing and matching now. So you never know. It's good to have your tools well learned. And then you can get creative and mix and match even within modalities. Yeah, between modalities.
Well, I thought that maybe I should have switched back to this thing that's kind of like body talk called STT. And they don't even talk about protectors or exiles or anything. Okay. They only talk about, oh, you've got this wounded part and it's in this part of your body.
Sure.
And it may be causing the symptom that you don't want anymore in another area, another organ, another whatever of yourself. But that's where it is, and that's what you deal with, and you comfort it and offer it, you know, gifts and maybe reimagining and whatnot. So I thought, oh my gosh, now I've got two exiles. Maybe I need to switch over, and I couldn't because IFS is so complete that it encompasses every other modality I've ever learned about part.
Yeah, that's what I have read about IFS. Now, again, I haven't studied most of the other parts therapies, but what I have read, when I have read people who have studied the broader spectrum, they say IFS is like apparently the most complete package of parts work. It has the most components, the most comprehensive approach, whereas other things might have bits and pieces here and there. But apparently IFS, from what I'm told, is the most comprehensive approach.
Yeah, thank you. He's giving me all this confirmation that I don't need to worry. I just need to go forward.
Oh, Jeannie, you're just so beautiful. You are so beautiful. You really are, girl.
You're a sweetheart, Patricia.
Oh, honey, you are. You're so beautiful. And I love, that's what I love about you guys. I was talking to a friend and I was 25. So, and I was 25 in the 70s. So this is a while ago. And I remember saying to her, you know, Buddha said, I am awake. And she kind of looked at me dully and I'm like, you'll get it. But, you know, it's like, you know, people, how do they not pay attention? I mean, because I remember being a little kid and just, these people are nuts. You know?
Well, you remember that too.
Absolutely. Only, I don't know what I was thinking when I volunteered for this mission, but
I could go on and on about remembering exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Oh, I know. And you're looking at, and you're going, see, I was always the kid who said the emperor had no clothes. That makes you really popular, you know, because
I had enough trauma to keep my mouth shut. I needed to keep my mouth shut.
Nobody can shut me up. Well, you know, I can. And tell me to if you need me to, but seriously.
Yeah. You got to remember, Patricia, a level of consciousness cannot comprehend a level beyond itself.
Exactly. And exactly. Yeah. You just got to love them and go, okay, honey. That's why I say I got the popcorn now.
Yeah. And we too. I mean, there's people way beyond us and we can't have a clue what they're experiencing. So it's
I know. And see, that's what cracks me up. Cause like, I don't, let's face it. I'm not that advanced. And look at them. And it helps me to think of them as toddlers, you know? And I'm like, it's okay. We're all growing at the level we grow at.
Yeah.
That was poorly constructed, but
that's exactly right. You got it. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions for anyone?
Hi, Benjamin.
Hey, Brian. Welcome.
Thank you for this forum.
Our pleasure.
I am curious on how negative polarized entities can possibly infiltrate people or a person through SEX.
I can speak volumes about that. I've had a lot of that in my lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not love-based or sacred, like how can those negative entities infiltrate a being?
Well, it's actually pretty simple. When you have an orgasm, all your chakras fly open. And at that moment, you are vulnerable and unprotected. And whatever critters they have can just pile in.
Mm. Yeah.
I had a partner who observed this phenomenon in me when I was not that aware of it. She said, Benjamin, every time you have sex with someone, you're just trading marbles. Your stuff goes into them, their stuff goes into you. It's just a free for all, you know? So, what I learned the hard way repeatedly, I was a slow learner, was that I had to be very discriminating with who I have sexual connection with. At least this was true in my days when I was, you know, open to multiple partners, right? Or just kind of, you know, playing around more. And boy, I would have an encounter and I'd enjoy it. And at the time I wasn't aware of anything bad happening. But then I'd go into my next ayahuasca ceremony and I'd spend the whole night purging hundreds of entities that I had picked up from that person and didn't know it at the time. And I had to do this enough times. I finally got clued up. I said, man, here I am on this path of spiritual awakening and service. And you know, yes, this is fun, but it's just not worth it. You know, I can't keep getting covered over with entities time and again and expect to make good progress on the path I'm on. So I finally sowed enough wild oats. Okay, I've had enough of my physical pleasure. I've had enough variety. And now I have to get buttoned up and, you know, monogamous and get more serious. And my partner has to be of a very high vibration where if I open to them, I'm not going to pick up a bunch of junk. So is that a helpful answer, Brian?
It is. Would it be the same for a female?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. It's all the same principle. If you're opening yourself sexually and if you're receiving energy from that person in any kind of sexual way, then you get everything that might come with it that they're carrying. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be a full-on orgasm. Yeah. I mean, we've all had the experience just being in conversation with someone who has a bad vibe and you walk away and you go, ugh, I kind of feel like I need a shower. You know, you can pick up entities from anyone in any context, but in the sexual situation, if you're climaxing and all your chakras fly open, I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, vulnerability moment right there.
Yeah. It's like a big gateway that opens up.
Totally. Yeah. Just pile on in, guys. Open season. So a person who's on a conscious path of spiritual evolution ideally would be kind of careful about how they open themselves. Either that or have to be really good at cleaning up afterward, you know.
Absolutely.
And after a while you just don't get to where you want to get, you know, covered over in the first place. I mean, I was at the point where there were times when I remember one time I had, in my early naive days, I got involved with this group that was doing some fairly dark things shamanically. I thought, oh, cool, a shamanic group. Let me go check them out. And I didn't realize they were on the darker side. It took me a couple of times. I was like, I'm not sure I want to be involved with these people. And there was this one woman in the group who a couple of years later saw me at an event, and she just came up to me and said, hey, if you want to have sex with me, I'm yours. Just say yes. And I knew exactly, I knew how dark she was. And I could, by that time I could sense, I said, no, thank you. I wish you the best. And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been very blessed to really feel those energies, whether or not, and to use that discernment. So
yeah,
thankfully. But thank you for really diving deep into that, and it really helps answer that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We all have free will and can do what we want, but there are definitely consequences to our choices. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to be with Spirit Song, and you know, when we are sexual, it's just super high vibration. There's no entities exchanged. It's just, yeah, it's a nice situation. So the ideal would be to find a partner, or if you're being with more than one person, just choose them very carefully, and just ideally they'll be holding a super high vibration and there's no cost to the connection. Yeah. Great question, Brian.
I have a question.
Okay, shoot. Welcome.
Hi, Benjamin.
Hi.
Thank you very much for this worm.
Oh,
I have a girlfriend who lost her husband about a year ago. And so she invited a man, a pastor, to come in and give his service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was like an immediate spark between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now she's having trouble because spiritually, he keeps coming to her, like, and wanting you know what with her all the time, and she can't break the connection.
Now, when you say he's coming spiritually, you mean he's not in his body; he's coming as a disembodied spirit.
I think so.
And he's wanting to have like astral sex. Is that the idea?
Uh huh.
Okay. I've
or no, but he actually is able to produce orgasms in her. So.
Okay, so in other words, he can manifest enough of a protoplasmic body that he's actually having intercourse with her with that non-physical body, and she's actually experiencing it as if he was physically there.
Yeah, so how does she protect herself? I've tried, but I'm not doing very well.
Okay, well, first off, what negative consequence is she experiencing from this?
okay, so from her religious standpoint of view,
okay.
She is, or he has a wife and he has children.
Okay.
And she, because he's a pastor, she doesn't want to involve him in this. You know, she doesn't.
She doesn't want to involve. Isn't he the one being proactive? She doesn't want
him compromised in this. Yes. Because okay. She, you know, he wants it like all the time.
Okay.
So how can she set up a barrier? I've tried, but
yeah, I'm just curious. Is she giving consent when he comes in this form, or does he just is he like?
I don't know. I'm not positive of that.
Okay, well that context is important. If he's forcing himself on her, then that's like astral rape, and that's
yeah.
So we need context. Is she giving consent? In which case, that's a whole different situation than if he's forcing himself.
Okay, well, I'm not sure of that.
Yeah, so the context is super important. If he's forcing himself and she doesn't want him to, she should start by first just saying no and giving a very clear boundary the best she can. If he still won't stop, then if she can't muster the boundary herself, then she needs to get someone to help her.
Okay.
Yeah. If it's consensual and she's been saying yes, come on in. And if she can then say no and he obeys that, then the boundary is set and there's no problem.
Okay.
Yeah, is that a helpful answer?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just been a problem for her for quite a while. So.
Yeah, so clarity is needed on is she saying yes or is this being forced? And those are two entirely different contexts. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Oh, I just want to add to what you just said.
Please.
At one point, you taught me, it was in a group like this, if we're having trouble specifically with entities, but it could be with what we were just talking about just now, that there would probably be a belief and that doing an IFS might be helpful because let's say, Linda asked her friend, you know, is it consensual or not? The woman might be a little confused on what to answer. And then I would think, well, maybe, you know, there's some part of her that thinks she should say yes or can say yes, or there's some part of her that does want it.
Right.
And therefore they could discern, you know, what part of that woman you know, might be allowing this unconsciously, you know, that what is driving her, what's behind her original involvement. And sometimes things mm-hmm. begin for one reason and then continue for a whole other reason. So it might be complicated. But I just remind you that you did tell us once that anytime things go on, like entities and whatnot, we probably also have a belief of some sort that can be cleared.
Right. Thank you. That's a deepening. That's a very excellent deepening of my answer. Thank you. So that level of subtlety for her might or might not be accessible. I don't know how open she would be to getting into that level. Now, what I'm kind of pinging on as you say this is the idea that we cannot be infiltrated unless we have some kind of wound or unhealed thing, or we have a weakness that needs, you know, we need to strengthen.
Or we've given permission, or and we don't realize.
Yeah, exactly. So, I guess first, you know, we need to determine: is this woman? Are all of her parts on the same page around the situation? Are all of her parts saying, no, I don't want this anymore? Or does she have some parts that are, you know, desiring it? In which case she might need to do, on top of everything else, some internal work to work with the parts that are still desiring his presence. Yeah. And none of this is meant to imply that, you know, she's asking for it or deserves it. Okay. That's not what I'm saying at all. But, you know, a person can be conflicted within themselves about what they do and don't want. Yeah. So thank you, Jeannie, for bringing that level of subtlety to the question.
Not everybody knows themselves, I find interesting. So yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it's about being conflicted.
Yeah.
Benjamin, just a quick question on this. Mm-hmm. And my question as far as astral realm, if I had an extremely vivid dream, mm-hmm. I had sex with a celebrity, uh-huh. and it was so... It seemed as though it was real. Mm-hmm. Is that basically my spirit or soul just having astral sex with that celebrity?
That can be tough to determine. I mean, there are different... I believe that dreams are their own level of reality. This is physical as its own level of reality. So things happen in dreams that in their own dimension are real. It doesn't mean it's literally something that happens, you know, that celebrity, you know, in the physical world might have no awareness of that other person or what's happening in that person's dream. Okay. So the vision is yours. There are some cases where things happen in dreams and both humans have some awareness of that. So that's possible, but that's less common in my experience, based at least on the people I've talked to in my client practice. You have to be careful both with dreams and shamanic visions, because something can seem so vivid. I have had more than one, for example, ayahuasca experience that, you know, felt so vivid and so certain. And it seemed like 100% guaranteed that must have happened in the physical world. And I actually did a reality check and no, it didn't. It was metaphorical. So dreams also are very frequently metaphorical. And so I would never correlate just because something seems so real in a dream that it means, you know, either that it wants to happen in the physical world or that the person who was in the dream has any inkling of anything that happened in your dream.
It was just so strange for me because I just don't follow celebrities. And uh-huh. this particular one, I just don't follow. And it was just very strange. That out of anybody, I had that very profound experience with. Never had in a dream before.
Yeah. I can't give a definitive answer to what that dream means. It might be an excellent thing to explore, like in journaling, or maybe do an invocation and spirit, please grant me the deepest understanding that serves highest good of the meaning of this dream. You know, I would just go internally. It's also dangerous to take boilerplate interpretations. Oh, if this thing shows up in a dream, it always means this. Right. A parallel that I come to is like there's books like animal spirit books where if this animal comes, it means this particular thing. And yet, you know, I myself have had experiences and have talked to clients where they had an encounter in vision with that animal and it meant something totally different. So it's always best to go customized instead of just like, oh, the boilerplate interpretation is this, but to say, okay, what is the unique meaning for me that might perhaps be very different than the normal interpretation for this image or this power animal or this dream encounter? So I would always go to the source of my own wisdom and check in internally, higher self, what was that about? And see what insight you can get through whatever means you gain insight.
Yeah, awesome insight. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Who else has a question about sex?
I do. I just wanted to piggyback on what you just said.
Please do. Jump in.
With shamanic groups, you know, sometimes the energies would be certainly high and there'd be kundalini energy supposedly and whatnot. And in a couple of those groups, there would be, everybody assumed some person, call her Shirley, was dating other person, I don't know, Arnold. And so everybody was just sure. And they were just sure that these two were together. And when they were confronted, the two people were like, we don't know what you're talking about. We're not even, I mean, we're friends. We like each other, but I mean, we're in this group, but we're not dating. Mm. And in one of those groups, the shaman said, that's because they are doing it on another plane, another realm.
Mm. Interesting.
And so I just thought it kind of went with the topic we were on. Thanks.
Yeah, there's so many layers to stuff. It can get very complex. Thank you
for that. How can we find out how many angels and how many guides that we have working with us?
Only as many as will dance on the head of a pin.
not even one. You're funny. Thank you. That wasn't the answer I was looking for.
My understanding is there's an infinite number of angels and other beings out there. They're literally beyond counting.
They come in at different times. I mean, I've got a few that I've had for a long time. I'm saying millennia. And then others, they're just like, oh, okay. You know, it's almost like you got a few specialists. Oh, this, you know, it's interesting. I love what we do when we do the stuff we do and you set the container and everything because it's just so awesome to know that, you know, only the love and light stuff, the good stuff's there. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing about how to do this for 54 years. Mm-hmm. And finally, I see. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So Linda, the way I would answer your question is, I guess I would counter question, how many are you aware of? How many do you actually have a conscious?
Seven.
Seven?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's plenty to start with, you know? So I would work in the appropriate manner with each of the beings you're with in whatever way you do that. And I would say there's a high likelihood there's a bunch more beings supporting you you're not even aware of. And like Patricia said, there may be specialists who pop in and out as needed. I've definitely seen that happen. So you have probably literally an infinite supply of allies to call on.
Okay.
So the number is variable, probably is the best answer.
And we are a full-time job for some people, I fear. You know? Yeah, that's great.
We are. Thank you.
Yes. So glad.
We got some great questions tonight. Who else has got one? Well, Sandrea, I hope I'm saying your name right, is the only one I think who has not asked a question. Sandrea, did you want to throw a question in the pile?
No, I don't think so. Not tonight. I think the way the questions have been going, what I would be asking would be in the whole other trap.
That's fine. There's no theme here. You got
there's
one.
No. Yeah.
Variety's good.
Okay. Well, it just feels like what I'm asking is a really personal thing. I don't think a lot of people are going to get value from what I have to ask.
Well, now, just as a reminder, everyone, this is a recorded event. It will go into the archive. So let me just double check to make sure everyone's okay with that. Nothing's been said that you would feel bad about others beyond the group that's actually live here perceiving, if as long as they're an Awakening Plus member. Are we everyone okay with that? Okay, yes. Good. So Sandrea, am I saying that right, Sandrea?
Yes.
Oh, good. Sandrea. Okay, thank you. So why don't you ask the question and I'll tell you if I think it's appropriate. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, I have just finished a book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spiritual memoir.
Okay.
It's Miracles in the Middle of Madness, My Search for God in a Godless Governed World.
Okay, good title.
Thank you. And
are you saying you wrote the book? You're the author?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I am. Oh, yeah, yeah. I have finished it.
Wow.
Oh, I know. I thought you meant you'd read it. And it sounded
I thought
like
so, too. I was. I know now from experience, writing a book is
a big
job.
Yeah, he just did that.
It's a big job. Go ahead.
No, I want to do that. Go on. Let's do this.
Yeah, these are stories of what I consider to be miracles. They're not some are very big and some are very little.
Mm-hmm.
And interspecies, incredible interspecies communications and all like that.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I'm wondering, how did you go about finding who you wanted to do to be an editor?
Oh,
and
right. That is a question a little off base, but I can answer it very quickly. So I will.
Okay.
I would recommend go to a site, readsy.com, readsy.com. And they have professionals for all areas of self-publishing, editors, book cover artists, whatever you need, layout artists. And they're all vetted. Mm-hmm. So if they're on Readsy, that means they've been tested and shown to be of professional quality. So go to readsy.com and the site will allow you to plug in what you're looking for and what genre and all that. And you can totally go to town with editors there. Yeah.
Thank you.
In fact, what I can even recommend further is it's obviously a spiritual book. And you'll find the editor I'm using, who I'm sure would love your project. Her name is Catherine Rourke, R-O-U-R-K-E, out in Oregon. And, you know.
Catherine with a C, R-O-U-R-K-E.
She's wonderful. She loves working on metaphysical books. She's done lots of them. She's been doing this for decades. She's really. Yeah. So check out her and go find her through readsy.com and you'll be good. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right.
That was my question. Thank you.
All right. Sweet. Yeah, she won't be the cheapest editor, but she'll be really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
All right. Any other questions from anyone? The suspense builds. Well, if we're out of questions, we'll wrap it up. Is there another question? Okay, Brian, you got one?
My question is, when you pray, and you pray out loud, since your voice is vibration.
Yeah.
And it's not done from a loving space.
Mm-hmm.
I would interpret that as it not being sent to the right place or to the creator.
Hmm.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is if somebody were to pray and it's not them from, even though most people when they pray, it's them from a loving space, but somebody's just asking for something and it's really not done with heart.
Right.
And intention. And if it's not in a sacred space,
yeah,
how would their prayers be answered, if at all?
Well, there's plenty of dark beings who would be happy to answer dark prayers.
Like goes to like.
So I think there's a lot of subtlety here. I mean, one context is a person's actually got malicious intent and they're calling for like harm to befall someone. You know, they're going to have dark entities answer that prayer. I had an experience of that once without intending to. Mm-hmm. This was years ago when I was back in Oklahoma and hadn't really learned my metaphysical chops yet. But I had separated from a partner and had just learned that she had unsuccessfully tried to, she knew I had a hot tub in this rental house. She had brought over a bag of cement and her intention was to dump a bag of cement into the hot tub, right? Which she didn't know it was an indoor hot tub and she couldn't get to it. And I'd heard about that, go out and there's this bag of cement lying on the curb. She goes, okay, sure enough, it happened. And so I'm laying in bed that night, just kind of drifting. And I find myself beginning to fantasize about how could I get her back for that? And before I knew it, out of the blue, two dark entities showed up right in front of me. I could see them with my third eye. And they were icky looking at it. They said, ooh, how can we help? Oh, that's not what I wanted.
Come on.
And I knew enough at this point. So I called in Jesus Christ. I said, okay, no, thank you. I banish thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And I hit him with the light and they went away. But I had attracted those just with idle fantasizing about doing something. It wasn't even totally prepared. It was just an idle thought, right?
Whatever we feed grows.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, whoa, that surprised me. Okay. So yeah, I mean, there are forces of dark, forces of light, and the appropriate kind of being will respond to a prayer that matches this vibration. Now, Brian, I could also hear your question in the context of a person really has good intent and they're praying for something good, but they're angry or their own energy is turbulent and it's not quite a pure energetic prayer. I would say do the best you can do. If your intention is good and your prayer is of positive intent, it's still going to go to the beings of light, I think.
Words have power. Yeah.
And you may still get some help. I mean, these divine beings can see how hard it is down here and how easy it is for us humans to get messed up, you know? So I think as long as the intention is good and, you know, the words are asking for a positive life-affirming outcome, then I think the prayer will still go to beings of light. It may not be as effective, you know, depending on, but I can't imagine a prayer with good intent getting misdirected to a dark being. I just don't think it would.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it would be that way. Yeah. Now again, dark beings are always looking for an opening. And if they perceive, wow, that person's angry, maybe I can slip in and start influencing their thoughts in a little more my way. I can see how there could be an opening for infiltration in that.
Can I throw something in here?
Sure. Go ahead, Patricia.
My youngest child, God bless her, when I was pregnant with her, I knew this was going to be big. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's moving to Maryland and a lot of things I had to let go and let God and stuff. And she was, and this was a problem her father had too. And she was talking to me about some stuff this weekend and just saying, like, when she was younger, she'd go into these rages where she was outside of herself, watching herself. And I thought, yes, darling, that's why we pray. That's why we do not allow ourselves to become possessed. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because she's terrified whenever I try and talk, you know, about spiritual matters. It scares the heck out of her.
Right.
You know, and I know, I mean, I had to let go because I was so sure I could save it. This stuff was killing me. Mm-hmm. And it's like now she's going to be in Maryland and she's going to be okay. And maybe there she'll listen, you know, but when we let the opening happen, we feed the anger and because I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in Oklahoma this weekend for my father's memorial service. Mm-hmm. He died a few weeks ago, but I'm totally good with it. So I'm good. But was with a family member who mentioned that they had an encounter with a dark being, you know, a while back and were just terrified of anything spiritual and they weren't going anywhere near it. And a lot of people get scared away by that. And that's one of the dark side strategies. If we can scare a person from even going into the spirit realm, it'll keep them from connecting to their light. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But each person has the free will choice. They can choose to run from it and just stay away from it their whole life. And that's what some people choose.
Thank God she has this child,
uh-huh.
and she loves this child more than she loves herself, and that's a first. That's a first. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, and I'm like amazed. The kid's amazing.
Oh, good.
The kid's a trip, yeah.
Whew, well, that could be a huge area of personal growth if she finally has something outside of herself she values more.
She's growing. I'm just like, I'm amazed. She had a far way to go, but yeah. It's
cool. Well, we'll take any step forward we can get.
I will take it. Yes, I will.
Yeah. Well, that's a beautiful step toward service to other. That's really great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
All right. What else y'all got? Well, I had a question for the group. This event is called Ask Us Anything. And what it really, I've been thinking about rebranding it for this particular event and calling it Group Spiritual Coaching. And the idea, one person is in the hot seat while they're asking their question. And then it really wouldn't be that different than what we're doing, because what's happening is one person is hot seating by asking their question, and then we're all chiming in. But I'm wondering if it would be more attractive to the membership if we were put in the context of, you know, group spiritual coaching, which it does that seem to you guys that's really what we're doing here? I mean, it's kind of what's happening. Would anyone object to us calling this event that as an experiment for a month or two and see perhaps if it draws more participation? Would anyone have a problem with that instead of calling it Ask Us Anything?
I don't know. Ask Us Anything is pretty cool, though, because it kind of opens the door for everything. Mm-hmm. And then with spiritual coaching, it would kind of mean that, you know, I don't know if they would take that more formally type of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas Ask Us Anything kind of opens the door. Yeah. That's just my opinion. Yeah, sorry.
Spiritual coaching sounds job-like.
I agree with you.
The tops are bad. Okay.
You could call it a spiritual group mastermind.
That might be okay.
I don't know. I'm always throwing ideas.
I liked it when it was community support too, but I do like Ask Us Anything because that.
Well, really, no, community support is still there.
But oh, is that still there?
We both need support and Ask Us Anything every month. Those are both different. Yeah,
I do like Ask Us Anything because, gosh knows, we did today, didn't we?
Yeah, so this has been our liveliest ever. I think it's great. Absolutely. We also got more people here than usual, so I'm enjoying that too. Okay. All right, cool. So maybe we'll just keep it like it is. Okay.
It casts a wider net.
Yeah, Ask Us Anything is pretty inclusive.
Yes.
I think it's good because the way you define it when you explain it in the email is that it's basically geared toward questions about enlightenment or your learning or something like that. If it said group coaching, I might bring some really personal thing and expect all these people to solve it for me.
I don't know what I'm going to do. It might be fun to maybe alternate months, do an Ask Us Anything, your service coaching. I don't know. We'll play and I'll see what spirit guys. But y'all's feedback is very helpful. Thank you. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'm doing a bunch of deep dive learning again on memberships, and that idea was, I came across that in one of the podcasts. And interesting.
So, thank you very much for tonight. That was very fun.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, we're not necessarily done, but I just wanted to check out, are there any other questions for anyone before we?
I have another question.
Go ahead.
So as far as dowsing, some people find it pretty effective. Mm-hmm. I know when I try to douse, there are so many different techniques on how about going about doing so. Mm-hmm. I've tried, you know, standing up and asking the question, yes or no. And I find it to be not too effective for some reason.
Okay.
And when I do stand, I ask the question. I've tried verbally out loud and also in my head. I don't know if that makes a vast difference or not. Uh-huh. And I go into sort of a meditative state and allow my body to just take over. Mm-hmm. But I found that recently not to be too effective.
Okay. So are you wanting to try a different dowsing method that would be more effective? Is that the idea here?
I would like to. I know that you had told me about the finger method, and I've tried it as well, and that hasn't been at all for me. I mean, there's muscle testing.
Right. Have you tried the heart chakra method?
I haven't, no.
I'll describe that in case it's helpful. With the heart chakra method, the way I do it, what I've learned through doing this a lot is I'll ask the question, yes or no, and then I'll feel my heart chakra. And it's like, if it's a really powerful yes, it'll be like the heart chakra wings just kind of rise up, you know, like wings rising and spreading. Mm. It'll be a very uplifting feeling as that happens. If it's a no, there'll be a sense of wings like drooping, falling down, and a sense of falling energy or constricting energy. And this technique also allows for infinite subtlety, because the wings might just rise a little bit. There might be a little bit. They might droop a little bit. So there's like all kind of shades of gray with the yes and no with that technique as well, if it works. So if you wanted to try that approach, you would just say, Spirit that I am, please show me in my heart chakra, you know, a yes, show me a no. And then you might ask questions that you already know the answers to and feel what's happening energetically in the heart chakra. So that's another way to do it. There's no end to dowsing techniques. Yeah.
Thank you.
I would suggest, Brian, too, I'm not going to piggyback exactly off Benjamin, but if you're unsure of whether you're getting a positive answer, write the questions down, screw them up so you don't know which one to pull, and then hold it to your stomach or to your solar plexus, and then ask. And that way, when you go and you open the writing down, you'll know whether you're getting an accurate answer, because you aren't attached to the problem.
That is wonderful advice. Very good.
That's amazing. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Get this straight a little bit. So write down the answer I'm looking for. Write down the question.
Well, she's
write
saying
down
have multiple answers. Have a bunch of questions.
Right.
Know the answers to yes or no.
And then mix them up on the table so you don't know which one is the question you asked, or have someone else write them down. Mix them up on the table and then pick them up and look at it, and then, or not look at it, and then muscle test on it and see if it's a yes or a no.
Without reading it. You just know it's one.
Without reading it, right.
Yeah. So ask for the answer while your head doesn't know what the answer is.
Get it from spirit.
That'll be the yes or no. And that way you can tell for sure what your yes and no are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, perfect. Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you, Patricia.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I've tried using playing cards, too, as a divination tool and to help somewhat.
Hmm.
But thank you. Thank you very much.
I have a zero-point energy machine, and they gave us this. I don't know if you can see it. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's a special dowsing machine.
Oh, interesting.
And it really works really well.
Oh.
And I like it. Oh. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, my, okay.
Oh, no.
Cool. I like it.
Visual variety here. That's great.
I have a pendulum and a recording wire and, yeah, stuff from people years and years and years ago. But, yeah.
Good luck, Brian.
Yeah, I was using a crystal necklace starting about a year ago, and that seemed to work really well for me. For some reason, now it's just I'm not getting those accurate answers.
Blow on it.
Yeah.
Infuse it with your breath. Okay? And ask it that spirit only answers the truth, you know, that you only want the truth.
Yeah, and I get into a very sacred space when I do it, too. I'm in front of my Mesa, and I'm, you know, calling in the divine allies to help me protect that space as well. But that's a good method that I'm going to try to use.
Also, crystals tend to pick up heavy energy over time. And if you haven't cleansed the crystals in that thing you're using, it could be less accurate because it's getting weighed down with heavy energy. So you might want to cleanse that. Are you familiar with how to cleanse crystals?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so you might give it a good cleansing for a day or two just to make sure it's clean, and then charge it up with intention, saying, I now charge this specifically for the function of dowsing accurately or whatever, and infuse it with, you know, that intent, and then maybe it'll work better. Might be worth a try.
Yeah, particular ones, it's a blue crystal. It's a blue, if you can see it.
It's beautiful.
Blue, yeah. Siberian quartz.
Mm-hmm.
So I know for this one, it doesn't work as well as being charged down in the sun.
Okay.
That's where water works well.
Yeah.
Whatever gets it done. Yeah. So,
yeah.
There's lots of ways to clear a crystal.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. What else y'all got?
Benjamin,
yeah.
As far as truth testing of any kind, dowsing or whatever, I was told that if you have trouble getting an answer, like, you know, the finger thing, I just can't do that at all. I tried multiple times in multiple classes over multiple years.
Ah.
And I was told that if whatever method that it's not clear, you know, that you're using, that it's because that's how much control you have over yourself. Because parts of yourself are wanting certain answers. Mm. And that will take over. So over the years, whatever method I've learned, I end up closer to your thing with the heart chakra, if it's open or if it's closed. If, you know, if it's, and then there's varying degrees, you know, of stuckness. You know, how heavy does it feel, or how open does it feel?
Right.
And so I thought that was pretty good. And also, I don't, this is my question, you know, I have a harder time testing myself than I do others.
Hmm.
Is that true for you or anybody else?
Me, for sure. Yeah.
Well, you're less attached to the outcome for another person, so it can be easier to read clearly sometimes. You have to be pretty clear to read for yourself accurately.
That's true.
And you make a great point, because there's different parts that want different answers. They might be trying to influence it.
Yeah, that's why I love that writing down the question where you can't see which question you're answering. That is just perfect. That's amazing.
Yeah. I hadn't even thought of that for on really critical questions. Write down several answers and you don't even know which, when the big question comes up and you're just getting the answer. No. Oh my God, that was the big question. There's the answer already. Right? Mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought of that. That's a brilliant idea. Anything else?
That dowsing machine was amazing. I've never even heard of that. I've never even seen one or heard of one. I was like, what is that? Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome. It's kind of a cool thing. I'll show it to you again. Maybe I can get it in here.
Yeah.
So see it? It's kind of like a balance.
Yeah.
But then it's got the little, almost like a lightning rod underneath.
Uh-huh.
And with the zero point machine, I get it, but it's upstairs and it's heavy. It's hexagonal. And I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube, on Facebook. It's Loris, and I can't remember his last name because it's Italian. But he has this machine and he's got a rod in the middle and that's not cheap, but you put your hands on it and you can, it's kind of like a wish machine.
Oh, wow.
So you can ask anything of it. Maybe the next time we meet, I'll bring the little thing down so you can see it.
Hmm. Fascinating.
So
do your wishes get fulfilled from it?
Right now, I've been just trying to keep my chakras in alignment every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a tendency to go out. I know that.
Mm.
So, but that's one of the things you can ask for. I'll just give an example if that's okay.
Sure.
Loris got woken up at 2:00 in the morning and he was shown two spirals and then like a sun in between.
Mm.
And so he knew he had to put this machine together, and he did. And a friend of his had a son who had bad kidneys, and they were going to have to go on dialysis, or he was going to have to go on a kidney transplant list.
Hmm.
And it was very serious, and he was going to go into an operation within like 48 hours. Mm. Well, he got the machine to him, and he put his name under the copper part of it. Mm. And the next morning, and he was retaining fluid. Really, he was gaining 2 pounds a day
of
fluid. Yeah, so his kidneys had really stopped working. And so he put his name in there, and his intention was that this would help him heal. And he got a call the next day that the son had started to release the water.
Whoa.
In one day. That's pretty cool. So.
Wow. You're sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I've played with some machines that's pretty amazing effects too. So there's all kinds of cutting edge aquarium technologies coming out of the woodwork these days.
Yeah.
Some really amazing things.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh yeah. Well, so tell us anything, Cole. So I think I'm feeling completion energy. But I want to double check to make sure there's no more burning questions before we wrap it up. Oh, Jeannie's yawning. We must be done. All right. We'll call it a wrap then. Wow. That was really stimulating, really fascinating stuff. I'll have to put a adult content warning on this one when I post it. Hey, we're all adults here. Okay. If you don't hear about sex, skip this one. All right. All right. Thank you all. This is the most we've had for Ask Us Anything in quite a while. So it's been lively and wonderful, and I've really enjoyed having each one of you here. So thanks y'all for showing up, and we'll get this in the archive by tomorrow. And blessings to y'all. So that's our last event for the week. Be sure to come next Wednesday. We're doing a brand new one. It's a group custom invocations.
Awesome.
And the idea is each one of us will be doing, come prepared with one or more custom invocations you want to do just for yourself. Okay. We'll all do them at the same time.
Mm.
And we'll hear yours, but we'll all do it together as a group. And the idea is all of us doing it at the same time means the whole group field will support each of our individual invocations for where we're going.
Can we send in a request ahead of time or something?
I can't make
Wednesday nights.
What you would have to do then is do it via the recording.
Okay.
And it should be just as effective that way. All of our events are. So you would just, whenever you get to the recording, you would just say, okay, now I'm going to do my custom invocation with the recording. And because all of our event energy is always held in the Akashic Records beyond time and space, you can have just as potent an effect from the recording as if you had done it live. So you'll still get it, just can't do it at the same time. But no, you have to be engaged yourself. You can't just send a question.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
But good question. Okay. All right, cool. Any other questions, comments, anything before we wrap? Okay. Yeah, I love our community. This is just so fun to hang with you guys. So thanks for showing up. Thanks for being an Awakening Plus. And we'll do some more stuff next week. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.